Today's reading is taken from Matthew, verse 3, chapter 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord.
As we come to reflect on God's word, shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for the gift of your word, for all it means to us, for the intellect we have to be able to understand it, and the openness we have for the movement of your spirit to change us through it. We pray, Lord God, that your spirit would be with me as I speak, and each of us as we listen to your voice, that we might know you, that we might be changed by your presence, that we might seek you to grow your kingdom. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Identity matters. Who you are shapes how much people can trust what you say, how much people can understand your actions and your motivations. If people have doubts about you, they don't know if they can believe you or not. And in circumstances, it can make the difference as to whether you survive or not, whether or not people think you are faithful or a traitor. I don't know how many of you have been caught up in the traitor's fever that seems to be gripping the nation. Kat and I have been loving it. We've been talking about who we think knows what ridiculous decisions some of the people in the show have made, and that we have to watch it quickly or else spoilers appear in the news, which is particularly unusual for a TV show. For those of you who don't know what The Traitors is, it's a game show where players must try to work out who is faithful and who is a traitor, whilst working together to build up a prize fund which they can win at the end. At the end of the show, any faithful left in the game can share the prize that they have. But if there are any traitors left by the end, then they get to claim the whole of the prize money. So episode by episode, the players try to root out the traitors and vote them out of the game. If you haven't watched it, I would thoroughly recommend it. Just promise that you won't tell me what happens. Our Bible reading is equally focused on identity. Who is Jesus? This is a really important question, both for Matthew in writing the gospel, but also for us as we sit and listen. But like watching the traitors, we have more information than those in the story do. As we look in from the outside, we are blessed with a perspective that those in the story don't have. We already know that Jesus is the Son of God. But what does that mean? And how might those present at Jesus' baptism have understood what's happening? We focused for a little while now on thinking about Jesus' identity. Before Christmas, we had a mini-series on the prophecies that pointed to Jesus. We learned how the messianic prophecies told the people of God what they should be looking out for, what they might expect, and we unpacked how three of those prophecies pointed to Jesus, although we know that the number of prophecies that point to Jesus are rather more than three. But that is not the end of Scripture's witness to Jesus, to who he is. It should be one of the key questions we have when we read the Gospels, because who we think Jesus is shapes how we understand what he says and might change our understanding of what he does. After Jesus has been born, the witness of Scripture is there to confirm that this man is the prophesied Messiah, and the Messiah is, in fact, God in human form. Now, we might not quite be able to get to that last point today, from our Bible reading alone. But there are some questions that we can explore. Firstly, who did John think that Jesus was? Secondly, what might it mean for the voice from heaven to declare that Jesus is the Son of God? And thirdly, how does knowing Jesus is the Son of God impact upon us? So who did John think that Jesus is? I'm guilty sometimes of forgetting that John the Baptist is Jesus' relative. We learn in Luke chapter 1 that Jesus' mother Mary is a relative of John's mother Elizabeth. The conception of both children was shaped by God, and both births were proclaimed by angels. John even had a go at proclaiming the coming Jesus when he leapt in Elizabeth's womb when Mary and the unborn Jesus came to visit. We don't know how much these events were talked about as the children grew up, or how much they knew of each other. But John's words in Matthew's account do tell us something. I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Does John know the family stories? Have they talked about it before today? Was it always obvious that Jesus was going to go into some kind of public ministry? Because up to this point, Jesus has not started that ministry. His baptism is part of how he announces himself on the scene. But it appears that John is nervous about baptizing Jesus. Matthew paints a picture of Jesus being in control of what happens, even though it is he who is baptized. Jesus carries authority, even as he submits himself to John's baptism. John's reluctance to baptize Jesus is itself a testimony to Jesus' identity. He is more important than John the Baptist, even though at this point John is already famous as a holy man and a preacher. John is zealous and righteous, but he points to Jesus as being more so in both respects. But I wonder, would John go so far as to think that Jesus is the Messiah? If we sneak ahead and look at Matthew chapter 11, we find John in prison. And he sends words through his disciples to Jesus to ask him to confirm his identity. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? But I think this is John not seeking information, but confirmation. Not trying to find out who Jesus is, but trying to justify why he is in prison by confirming that Jesus is the Messiah. And in doing that, that he has fulfilled the task that he has been given to proclaim the coming Messiah to those who would listen. Ultimately, John seems to know who Jesus is even before the voice from heaven calls out. And so that voice brings evidence to his belief rather than introducing him to the idea in the first place. And that brings us to our second question. What might it mean for the voice from heaven to declare that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, firstly, we have to ask the question, who is the voice speaking? With the presence of the Spirit of God in the form of a dove, Matthew implies that the voice belongs to God, and God declares, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So the voice is God, and Jesus is the Son, we can make the radical assumption that it means that Jesus is the Son of God. 100 points, top of the class. The voice means exactly what it says. But there's an important follow-up question we need to ask. Is Jesus, being the Son of God, a unique term for him, or can other people also be a Son of God? Because how we hear the declaration of the voice in heaven is very heavily influenced by the assumptions that we bring to the question. We actually find the words that the voice from heaven uses elsewhere in Scripture. It brings together two passages. Psalm 2, verse 7, which says this, "I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" And Isaiah 42, verse 1, which says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." And you might also remember that before Christmas, we looked at a messianic prophecy from 2 Samuel 7, verse 14, which said this, "I will be his father, and he shall be my son." So the language that the voice from heaven uses is present in the messianic prophecies, that the Messiah will be the Son of God. So it feels first that the voice offers conclusive evidence as to Jesus' identity. But I'm afraid if we keep looking, maybe it's not quite as clear-cut. You see, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, it records God telling Moses what he should say to Pharaoh so he can free the people of Israel. "Thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son." So the people of Israel are God's firstborn son. But Jesus is of the people of Israel, so he is part of that sonship of God. But it might not be uniquely held. Further doubt might be cast by Genesis 6, which talks about the sons of God helping to procreate the human race, which again doesn't sound like the title would belong exclusively to Jesus. All of this extra information only serves to muddy what were once clear waters. We hear the idea of Jesus being the Son of God as possessing a uniqueness, but the term might have been understood more broadly by those who heard it on that day. The idea of Jesus uniquely being the Son of God has to do with his divinity and nature. And we see Jesus as inheriting the divinity of God, fully God and fully divine. And we state that belief regularly when we use the Nicene Creed. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Yet here, in Matthew's Gospel, as the voice declares from heaven, "This is my Son," it seems that we might need to understand the term more broadly. The idea of inheritance and sonship is important, but we need to bring back the question of being faithful. You see, the people of Israel have not been faithful. They've fallen away from God and punishment has followed. The occupying Roman army who are in charge when Jesus is alive is testimony to that. The need for a Messiah speaks to that. God has promised to redeem his people as sons of God. So the prophetic invitation is to us all, but it needs to be fulfilled by an individual first. So the declaration of the voice that Jesus is the Son of God does make a unique claim about Jesus. Nobody else has been faithful. We are all traitors to God. But in that, it offers an invitation. You see, in Jesus' sonship, there opens up the possibility that we can all, regardless of gender, be restored as sons of God. This idea of adoption into the family of God is found again and again in the pages of Scripture, and particularly in the writings of Paul. It is a truth that in the person of Jesus, and a promise that we can receive, won through us through Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. So all of that brings us to our last question. How does knowing Jesus is the Son of God impact upon us? In the Traitors TV show, there is a moment where people can find out the identity of the other players. When players are voted out of the game, they must declare if they are faithful or if they are a traitor. It's the moment when speculation ends and the truth is told, when they leave the game and go back into the real world. And the same is true to a degree in our faith. Whilst we wrestle with theology and sift our way through Bible verses, probably covering more Bible verses than we had in our first reading, we can find that it's very interesting and get lost in it, but there is a risk that it's not very helpful to us. It only becomes valuable to us when we take the leap of faith, stop exploring, and start living out the truth, the reality. Because if Jesus is the Son of God, then we should listen to his teaching. Because if God is real, if he cares for each one of us, then his teaching to us is the best thing that we can listen to. It gives us the best way of living. And we can discover the peace and joy that comes from knowing him and walking with him in our lives. But there is more. If Jesus is the Son of God, then there is more to come for us than the peace of following Jesus in our earthly life. If Jesus is the Son of God, then we have hope in heaven too. To think back to our autumn sermon series, all of the things that God has done for us depend on the integrity of Jesus being who he claims to be. It all depends on Jesus being the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who redeems us. So how do we begin to make that leap? Well, we start to behave as if it's true. We try praying and offering our struggles before God. We change how we live so that how we live is more in step with the life that God calls us to lead. We share the good news that we have with other people who need to hear it. We seek day by day to grow the kingdom of God. To receive the fullness of what God has for us, we must start to trust God more than we trust ourselves. This is a daily process, but in following that process, there is blessing and goodness for us when we trust that Jesus is faithful. We start to become more faithful ourselves. Shall we pray? And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Father God, help us to trust that Jesus Christ is your Son. And in that simple statement of belief, help us to begin a journey that takes us our whole life to understand fully. We pray that the same spirit that fell on Jesus that day would fall on us this morning, to open up our hearts and our minds for the truth and goodness that you have for us. Lord, I thank you that there are in this room people who have walked with you for many years, knowing your great love for them, knowing your great wisdom and care. And I pray too, Lord God, that you would be with us as we begin that journey of faith, for the first fragile steps that come from trusting you. But Lord, I pray that by the gift of your Spirit for each one of us today, we would take even the smallest shuffle forwards, drawing closer to you, that we might know your goodness, that we might know your grace and your truth, and that in that you might transform us and transform your world. Lord God, for the times when we have struggled to be faithful to you, we ask your forgiveness. But we pray, Lord God, that in the strength of your Spirit, you would draw us closer to you and transform us for your goodness. Grow your kingdom through us, that we might share the good news for all who would hear that Jesus Christ is your Son, your beloved, who you love. And in declaring that truth, help us to know that we are loved as well. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.